May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yisrael Abel Yishai, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yisrael Abel Obadiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's my privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. I now present one of the sons of Israel Abel, Buzz Light Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Be turning over to Yaakov, the book of Yaakov, Yaakov 3 and verse 5. That's found on page 954. And it says, in the same way the tongue is a little member and boasts great things, behold, how great a forest a little fire can kindle. The time of my speech today is controlling the tongue. Controlling the tongue. So we see from that scripture that even though the tongue is very small, it can cause very huge problems. Well, in the second book of Israel, chapter 12, verse 34, it says, people don't realize what they're saying when they let this little tongue control their brains. They speak out against Yahweh's house, and Yahweh condemns this all throughout the Holy Scriptures. And a very prime example of that is the Catholic Church. You know, the Catholic Church, the Vatican, the little horn, they're always speaking out against the house of Yahweh with a forked tongue. This should not be done. You should be like the carpenter. Measures three times. Cut once. As a Christian, I used to be, I would cut the thing of three times and it would still be too long. So it's showing that when people speak out against the house of Yahweh, when they don't control their tongue, it really doesn't benefit them. If you'll turn over to Yaakov, the book of Yaakov again. And a couple verses down, verse 9, Yaakov 3:9, found on page 954. And it says, with it we bless Yahweh our Father, and with it we curse men, who are being made in the likeness of Yahweh. You know, that saying that we're scared to, or we won't curse Yahweh, but we're are willing to curse men. That's what we see in the Catholic Church today. Now, the tongue is poisonous, and if it is not controlled, it can be very dangerous. In the Peaceful Solution Self-Control Unit, page 90, under the headlining, What You Say. It says, stop and think about the words you are using. Are they the best words to use to explain yourself or to convey your thoughts and feelings? Words are powerful. They can either paint a picture, encourage others, or threaten and hurt. Words can be so damaging that they are said to be as hurtful as physical violence. And you know, we see this in people that are in schools when they get bullied. You know, they commit suicide. You know, it has such a great effect on them that they commit suicide. If you'll turn over to Yaakov, book of Yaakov, chapter 3, and verse 8. And it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So it's showing there, it's not a liquid poison, you know. It's showing that the tongue is very poisonous. It can cause hurt. The tongue can benefit, and it can also cause hurt. Well, I looked up the tongue in gematria, and it comes out to 515. Comes out to 515. And 515 in the Strong's Greek means consider worth, deserve, desire. So, you know, it's saying there that we have to consider how we're speaking to one another here in the house of Yahweh. Let's go back to the self-control unit again. Self-control unit, under the headlining, how you say it and how you look while you're saying it. Stop and think about the tone of voice you are using. Is it peaceful and non-threatening, or is it hostile, threatening or aggressive? And that's what we saw when the house of Yahweh was being persecuted. They said, you know, the beastly system was saying, after they got Waco, they said, "We're coming after you next." They had these hostile messages coming towards the house of Yahweh. If you can compare communication to a song, the tone of voice would be the music that accompanies the words. The tone of voice you choose gives a meaning to your words. Have you ever called a friend and, by the way, he said hello, you knew if he was in a great mood? So it's showing there the tone. It's not just what you're saying, it's how you're saying it. So, because we could be trying to say something that's very positive, that's trying to encourage someone, but it's just the tone of voice and how we say it. Now for my last scripture, if you'll turn over to 2 Samuel 23, chapter 23, and verse 2. That's found on page 270. And it says, "The Spirit of Yahweh spoke through me, and his word was on my tongue." So, you know, we should have the Spirit of Yahweh speaking through us and his words in our mouths, which that is Yahweh's laws. With that, if you all please stand. I'll turn it over to the great son of Yishalei to prayer.
A son of Yishalei, the great deacon Yaakov Hawkins. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, today, we're going to travel back in time to something that occurred in 1993. Okay, now, you may be guessing what occurred then, but I'll tell you. There was a peace treaty that was signed with Israel and the Palestine. And remember, it was a 7-year peace agreement. Okay, now, first, let me tell you, it occurred in 1993, but Pastor had already wrote about it back in the 70s. Okay, here in the Mark of the Beast, everyone see that? Mark of the Beast. And here on page 171, you see here that a strong covenant is made for a 7-year period. Okay, the two witnesses will then begin to preach against lawlessness, and they will prophesy for 3.5 years. Okay, but notice the covenant for a 7-year period. Okay, so you see, Pastor told us first about it, about this covenant that would be signed. Now let's go to Daniel. Let's turn to Daniel. Daniel 9, and let's start at verse 24. It says 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city, to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the holiest of the holy people. Then verse 25, it says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem to the Messiah, the Prince, will be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks in the street will be rebuilt again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Okay, let's read 26. It says, and after the 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off without a successor, and the people of the Prince that will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, notice carefully verse 27. Listen to it very carefully. It says, and he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Now, we know this 1 week is 7 days, which is 7 years. A day for a year. This is talked about in Yekeskiah 4, verse 6. He will confirm a covenant with many. That word many was rabin, for 1 week, 7 years, and in the midst of the week he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Instead, he will cause the prevalence of the Lord of heaven, even until the destruction that is determined will be poured upon the desolator. Okay, now, remember first that Pastor had already wrote about this back in the 70s in the Mark of the Beast. Now, I have a short video here. Can we please play the video?
It's amazing how one little demon can knock out a broadcast that we want you to get. There's several people told me that they did not hear the 7 years in that broadcast. You know, the world is asleep to it too, brother. So, but we're going to play it again for you right now. And but watch the first part. Listen carefully, because this plan that is given here is a 7 year plan to bring peace. And this beast is fully described in your Bible, and we're going to see that this morning in the book of Yahweh. Go with it, men.
The PLO chairman Yasser Arafat is also hearing those shouts of traitor from within the Palestinian community, which is one reason he is working so hard to get this agreement with Israel sealed, signed, and delivered fast. He wants the Arab leaders behind him. Here's ABC's Jim Bitterman.
For the third straight day, Yasser Arafat trooped through Arab capitals seeking political support and money. And as he arrived in Oman at the end of the day, hoping wealthy Persian Gulf states will back him financially, it was becoming clear that peace will be very expensive. Peace will be very expensive. Peace will be very expensive. In Tunis, the man who led the PLO's secret negotiations with Israel, Ahmed Kouria, told ABC News that the PLO is putting the finishing touches on a seven-year plan to rebuild the occupied territory.
Hear it.
If this plan will not be able to be implemented, there will be a catastrophe.
The price tag, Korea said, nearly $12 billion.
Did you all get it? Did everybody get it?
To guarantee okay. The peace agreement.
Did anybody not get it? Okay, praise Yahweh.
Israel and the PLO, a step toward peace. Reporting from the White House, Tom Brokaw.
Good morning, everyone. A day to remember here at the White House, in the Middle East, and throughout the world, for that matter. The 13th of September, 1993.
Today, the leadership of Israel and the Palestine Liberation Organization will sign a declaration of principles on interim Palestinian self-government.
Now by Shimon Peres. Now Mr. Abbas will sign for the PLO, and then it will be witnessed by Secretary Christopher and Foreign Minister Kuzarov from the Russian Federation.
There's the moment. There's the moment.
Mr. President, thank you, thank you, thank you.
A 7-year plan to rebuild the occupied territory.
All right, you may be seated. Okay, so did everyone get that 7-year plan? All right, praise Yahweh. All right, now, in the 9th book of Yisrael, chapter 23, notice the 9:23 and 9:24, that the 23rd and the 24th chapter, they all dealt with this. 9:23 and 9:24 both go back to Daniel 9:23 and Daniel 9:24. Okay, notice that. It's not a coincidence, okay? Can I get my first slide? Oh. All right, so you can see the first slide there. 9th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 23. Can you see the sermon title there if you want to write it down for your notes? Can I get the second slide now? All right, now, would I be able to get that closer? It's not on. Sorry, we're having a bit of technical difficulties. Okay, now, the 9:23, notice the 9:23. Okay, it goes back to Daniel 9:23. If you can read that, it says, "At the beginning of your supplications, the command was given, and I have come to show you, for you are greatly beloved." Okay, this is talking to Daniel. "Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." Okay, and remember the sermons that were brought out about that. Okay, now we can see here the second slide. You see 5:16:09 sermon, 9th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 23. It says, "Now at the same time, if you'll just pay attention to what the scriptures show in the division of the land for gain. The Pope has a mission that he wants to perform to bring about the price tag that will actually bring the money." Okay, so you see what the Pope wants. He wants that money. Then you see at the bottom, he doesn't want to pay taxes on this money that they get from those sites. Okay, can I get the next slide now? Okay, you see here, this is verse 6. "When they get their way, which scripture shows that they will eventually get their way, it won't bring peace. But that's what they're wanting anyway. What they're actually trying to achieve is money." Okay, so notice the money. They want that money. Now, can we get the next slide? Okay, this is verse 13. You see pastors reading the article. In 1993, it says, "This was the 7-year peace plan and agreements to hand over all of this land to the Vatican." Okay, notice they're giving the land to the Vatican. Can I get the next slide? Okay, it says, "It takes its stand in the Holy Land, takes its stand, actually bring forth the iniquity throughout the Holy Land, but make money in doing so." So notice this whole thing was to divide the land for money. Okay, now let's go to Daniel 11. That's just a page over, Daniel 11. And notice verse 39. It says, "This is what he will do in the strongest fortress with the strange God, which he will acknowledge and increase." Now, notice that word is added there. You'll want to take out that word "and." And this was brought out in the sermon that was given, 9th book of Yisrael, chapter 9:23. Okay, it says, "Which he will acknowledge increase with glory. He will cause them to rule over many and will divide the land for gain." Okay, so notice what they're doing here. They're not dividing it for righteousness or for peace. They're dividing it for money. Okay, and this is what's going to bring about the destruction. If you go back to Daniel 9, it was just a page over. Daniel 9, verse 27, you see the last of that verse, 27. It says, the destruction that is determined will be poured upon the desolator. Okay, notice that destruction. This is the 1 hour burning. Remember, the time is cut short. Okay, so when you look at these prophecies, realize who told you first about them. It was our pastor, Yishel Hawkins. Okay, praise Yahweh. Okay, remember, pastor wrote all about it in this Mark of the Beast. Okay, so get your copy of the Mark of the Beast. Okay, you can get it on the internet, or you can get your own copy and study it at home. Okay. Volume 1 and 2. Remember that. Volume 1 and 2. Now, if y'all please stand, I'd like to turn over to the great Khan Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Great, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Can I get that volume of the Mark of the Beast? Volume 1. Calling volume 1, come in. Oh, praise Yahweh, thank you. Okay, so how's everybody feeling today?
Yes.
All right, well, Yahweh's really, really got some exciting news for everybody. I'm telling you, he really loves this work in these last days. He's just pouring it on. And remember what the great deacon just told you. You know, the house of Yahweh told it first. Pastor Israel Hawkins told it first. You know, only the seventh Moloch can tell a vision, okay, concerning the things of Yahweh. And, you know, and then, you know, we as his seed can tell that vision too along with him, okay? We're learning to tell the vision as well. So let's talk about the Mark of the Beast. This is the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1. Pastor wrote this book in 1976, and I'm going to be giving you some information about that from the Gematria. Now, I want to remind you of something about Gematria, okay? Is Gematria something that just came up in the house of Yahweh in the last, say, 3 or 4 years? Where did we learn about Gematria first? In the Mark of the Beast. Page 95 and page 143, Pastor went into not all the detail, but he showed you that, you know, numbers in all languages, numbers have, or letters have numbers assigned to them, okay? And I'll give you a for instance. In the Babylonian or the Sumerian, Chaldean, they call it Gematria. The number 6 is their base, you know, like A would be 6, B would be 12, C would be 18, D would be 24, etc., all the way through the alphabet. What's interesting about that too, Pastor noted in the Mark of the Beast, that the number 6 is the number of man. So in order to be able to calculate the number of the beast, right, man's governments, then you would have to use the number 6 to do so. So, and that's why Pastor started using it. And he showed very clearly the words like computer, New York City, Vicarius Filii Dei, the Latin term for that the Pope wore on his tiara. All those things added up to 666. And this is not a coincidence, okay? This is calculating and showing who this, Daniel and who Revelation is speaking of in Revelation 13 about the Mark of the Beast. Now, again, I mentioned that the Mark of the Beast was written in 1976, okay? And so I looked up the Gematria of the 1976, okay, and here's the numbers that are associated with it. And all I'm doing in this sermon today is stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance, okay? I want you to keep that term in mind, because this is what this is going to be talking about here. But let's start with this one here, Jewish 2762, meaning Jewish Gematria. There's only 3 gematrias that I ever use and that we've been using all along. And then that is these three here, the Sumerian, Jewish, and the English ordinal, okay? And I'm going to go with 2762 first here. And now remember, the mark of the beast, what is it about? Okay, think about that. The little horn, okay? And the little horn making war against the saints, okay? Daniel chapter 7, remember? He will make war against the saints and think to change times and laws, and they will be given into his hand until what? A time, times, and the dividing of time, as we just learned about from the great deacon and we were reminded of. We know these things. We've been taught by the greatest teacher in the world. So little horn is in the Greek, 2762. Let's look at the Hebrew. Now this won't make much sense at first. It says lattice, which is like a net, right? And it's from the Hebrew word sharak. Now, this is interesting, too, because this number 2760 is going to tie into another gematria of the strong covenant, okay, that I'm going to show you in a minute. But notice what it means. It means to, first it says roast, okay? And that's talking about in Proverbs 12:27, where it says, a slack man never roasts his game. Okay, I know a lot of lazy people that cook their food, okay? That's not what it's talking about, and I'm going to show you here right now. It means to set in motion, to start, to move, to be agitated. Now, this won't make any sense either, but it made sense when I saw it because there was something I cataloged in my mind when President Donald Trump became president, that his name meant to agitate. Trump actually went to the word agitate, and it meant to agitate, to stir up. And that's something that he's able to do, isn't it? He's able to stir people and agitate people, and that means stir them up, okay? Let's look what this word means further. It moves, move, agitate, set in motion. And remember, I told you that reminded me of the word Trump, because I looked up the word Trump in Scripture, and it's this word right here, trumpet, a trumpet, the seventh trumpet, okay? Well, who wrote the mark of the beast? The seventh trumpeter, right? Well, watch this. Trumpets were used in book one times to summon Yahweh's saints for righteous wars, meaning, you know, not using guns and knives and bombs and things, but to stir them to action. Okay, now, it says, perhaps from this word here, through the idea of quavering or reverberation, a trumpet. And let's look at that word. 4535, it means agitation, okay? And it's from this word here, seno, and it means to disturb. But it also means this. The same exact thing you just saw in that other word. To move and to agitate. In other words, to stir up. To stir to action. Pastor was stirred up and moved. Remember 1 Kefa 121 that the prophets spoke at old times because they were moved by Spirit Holy? You remember that? In other words, pastor saw these things in the book of Yahweh and he was moved. He was stirred to action. He was stirred up to write that book. Do you understand that? The seventh trumpeter. And he's simply trying to now stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, as 2 Kefa 3:1 says. Okay? We're not seeing anything new. What we're seeing is what we've already been taught. Okay? Now, let's look at another word here. 4:14. Okay? And that 4:14, I just wrote down, it means to bear with, to endure, to suffer with. And remember Revelation 13, 6 through 10, where it talks about him, the little horn, making war against the saints. And it says, herein is the patience and the faith of the saints tested. Okay? In other words, Yahweh's allowing this to take place for our betterment, right, House of Yahweh? To build our character. Now, I'm going to read you a quote from the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1. And by the way, in the prophetic word, the first time the Mark of the Beast was put into the prophetic word magazine is this one here, if you can. This is from 183, January 1983, 1 month before the establishment of the House of Yahweh. I'm going to read a quote to you from page. Well, he talks about, remember I said 183? Well, he talks about, if you can zoom in, please. Can you zoom in more, please? Okay, notice page 183. 183, and he's talking about this strong covenant of 7 years that begins and ends with a nuclear war. But I'm not going to, the first time he mentions this strong covenant is actually on page 171. And I'm going to read this to you. Now listen to this and then watch the definitions that come out. A strong covenant is made for a 7-year period. The two witnesses will then begin to preach against lawlessness. Notice how lawlessness is big printed, bolded. And they will prophesy for that about that 3.5-year time period, that last 3.5 years. Now watch this. This is very interesting. Because Yahweh's right on target every time. Where he says a strong covenant is made for 7 years. The first number you're going to see is 3117. Turn to Exodus 3117. Because remember, we're talking about the mark of the beast. Exodus 3117. It's found on page 71, and that number also is very interesting here. Because on page 171 is where I just quoted from, right? So let's look at Exodus 31:17, but look at verse 16 first. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now, by the way, that word sign is number 226. It's number 226 in Strong's, and that's going to be, I'm going to show you something on that in a minute. But let's look at 3117 in Gematria. Remember, it's talking about the strong covenant, okay? Notice first it says long and of long duration. Remember, a time, times, and a dividing of time. It's not a simple 7 years and it's over. It's of long duration, and pastors brought this out. It's a plan of action. It's from the Greek word mikos, and it means length. And it's from makros, or it is, we already showed you makros, and it says see Greek mega, which means large, great, strong, as in strong covenant, okay, strong covenant, and it means exceedingly great. But notice 3117 now in the Hebrew. 3117, it's the Greek Hebrew word yom, and it means time and times. Time and times, remember? Time, times, and the dividing of time, right? Can you get any more accurate than that? And I want you to also remember that Daniel 7:25 was written in 555 BY. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. That other number I just showed you was number 460. You see that? Strong covenant, 7-year period. Remember what Pastor said? They're going to preach about lawlessness. Well, notice here. 460 says without law. Lawlessness. Remember from 459, anomos, which means without law. Lawless, without law. The lawless one, the little horn, you know? Really? Wow. Right on target again, Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. It says, wicked, without law, lawless, transgressor, unlawful, wicked. So the very paragraph, the first time he used the strong covenant, everything was shown right there in there. Strong covenant, They'll preach about lawlessness and about that last 3.5 years, that time. Every definition was in that right there. By the way, Daniel, as I said, Daniel 7 was written in 555 BY. Let me get that on the record. Daniel 7. Daniel 7. I'm gonna show you this book of Yahweh here with the times or the years right there. 555 BY. Speaking about the little horn. Well, notice this. It's talking about the fourth beast and the little horn that joined the fourth beast. Remember the religious spokesman that joined with the Roman army? And it means stronger. Increasing strength. It means to be stout. Turn to Daniel 7:21 on page 679. Look at 7:20. It says, and of the 10 horns that were on his head, and of the other horn which came up, this is the little horn, before whom 3 fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, with that forked tongue like the great son of Israel, Abel Barzillai, just told us about, whose look was more stout, strong, more mighty and imposing than his fellows. Right here is the word mighty. He's just used it right here in Daniel 7:20. And it also means prevail. Look at 7:21. I behold, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the ancients of days came and judgment was given to the saints of Yahweh. And you're going to greatly rejoice here in just a moment when you see this. Now, this ninth book of Israel that the great deacon Yaakov just told you about, it's called The Chosen Branch. And on page 226... Let me get there real quick. 226 is where this first sermon is. Chapter 23. It's ninth book, chapter 23. Think of 9:23. In fact, open up to Daniel 9:23. Because remember, I said only one man can tell a vision, can tell the vision, okay? And explain and help us to understand all these things. And if you'll notice in Daniel 9:23 on page 681, Pastor tells Daniel this, at the beginning of your supplications, the command was given, and I have come to show you the vision, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, then in 24, remember the second sermon, this first sermon is about dividing the land for gain, and then the second sermon from 5:23, the week after, is a continuation of that sermon about dividing the land for gain. You remember Resolution 23:34 too. Keep that in your mind about what that meant, about understanding, to gaze, to behold, to discern what these things are about. Now, this is on page 226, right? Isn't it amazing that 226 is the same word used right here? In Exodus 31:17. Wasn't that the gematria? Wow. So I wonder what it means. Remember it says a sign is word 226. And here's what it means. It means a mark. A miracle. Remembrance. Remember stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance? It means a miraculous sign. You know, to me, these things are miracles. This is a miracle. Daniel 9:23, and then the ninth book, chapter 23, is explaining the vision, okay? And we need to be reading this and stirring up our pure minds. But notice this. It's also from 2:25, okay? And what does 2:25 mean? It means to assent and consent, to consent, to agree. Well, what does the word consent mean? It means agreement. Agreement, you know, like this, the covenant, the 7-year covenant and agreement. Isn't that what he wrote about there? But notice what else 226 means. It means to be true, to speak and tell the truth. That's what pastor's doing here in this sermon. It says to speak or tell the truth, to teach the truth. And it's from 227, and it means it stresses reality. When something is fully tested, it will be, hold on. When stress is undeniable reality, when something is fully tested, it will ultimately be shown to be a fact. It's and this is right. It's ultimately going to be shown to be a fact, what pastor's showing in these sermons, okay? And in the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1 and 2. Now, speaking of Trump and this dividing the land for gain, we're going to leave you on a cliffhanger again, okay? But I'm going to give you these. Did you hear that Donald Trump's going to visit Israel May 22nd and 23rd on Jerusalem Day, which is the 23rd, this month, okay? But he's also going to the Vatican, too, if you'll notice here. Can you zoom in, please? It says, this will be the president's first foreign trip since entering the White House, with Israel the second stop. Sandwich in between Riyadh, which is in Saudi Arabia, and Rome. Yes, he's going to the Vatican right after Israel. Huh. His visit to Israel falls on the 50th anniversary of the reunification of Israel's eternal capital, Jerusalem, which is May 23rd, this year due to the various changes in the Hebrew calendar, a date not believed to be a coincidence. Oh, no, it's not. Not at all. It's not a coincidence. Let me show you why. You remember the second sermon, 924, ninth book of Israel, chapter 24? Here's when it was given, 5:23:09. Okay, now watch this. Watch this. I did calculation with the dates, of course. And by the way, this is how many days it will be from May 16th, that 9:23 sermon, ninth book of Israel, 23rd sermon, 29 days between May 16, 2009 to May 23rd, 2017, when he'll be in Israel. Well, lo and behold, 29:29 means crystal clear. But that's not all. Turn to Deuteronomy 29:29. On page 172, it says the secret things belong to Yahweh, our Father, but the things revealed to us, right here in the house of Yahweh, and you watching, wherever you are in this world, tuned in, belong to us and to our children forever, so that we may perform and do all the words of this law. The secret things. But it gets better. Watch this. Now, when pastor gave the March 23rd sermon to when Trump goes to Israel, will be 29:22 days. 29:22 means lamb. Write that down right now. Write it down. Lamb. That's in the Hebrew. It means lamb. In the Greek, it's the word criterion, and it means a law court. A law court, the tribunal of a judge or a bench of judges. It means to judge, judgment seat. Where's that at? What? I can't hear you. Where's here? Yeah, that's right. It's here at the house of Yahweh, Yahweh's house. This is the throne here, okay? Now, watch this. It's from the Greek word krites, and it means a judge or magistrate, judge or judges. And it's from the Greek word krino, right here, and it means Thayer's comments that the proper meaning of 2019 is to pick out and choose by separating. But it also means this. It means to distinguish, to pick out, to judge. Judge, judging, judgment, stand trial. Now, for my last scripture, turn over to Revelation 21. I got to get this in. Revelation 21, I'm sorry, Revelation 22, verse 1 on page 985. I'm going to make sure I'm not missing anything here. Okay, crystal clear. Revelation 22, 1. Y'all there? It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. You know who that comes from? The pure river, the water that was given freely here at the house of Yahweh. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of the Lamb. Proceeding from the throne of Yahweh and the Lamb. Now look at this. Here's Revelation 22:1 in the interlinear. Here's the word throne. The throne, 2362. Notice here, 2362. Tribunal or bench to the Messiah, the partner and assistant in the divine or the administration of Yahweh and the judges, the tribunal that sits with him. This is talking about you, brothers and sisters. Is it becoming crystal clear to you? All right, you got a homework assignment because we're going to show without any doubt that this dividing of the land for gain is taking place, has been taking place, and it's going to be crystal clear. You're just getting a teaser right now. But I encourage you, go back and read the two books, Mark of the Beast, Volume 1, Volume 2. And by the way, today is 5-6-17. If you look it up, it's the word Sepharvaim, and it means two books. Two books. These two books. Read them and read those other two chapters. That's your homework assignment this week, so you'll be ready for the next sermon. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to the great Kahan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. I want to address our youth in the house of Yahweh by letting them know that their job is becoming of utmost importance. When I say youth, I mean everyone, you know, all the way up to 100 and whatever. But keep in mind the youth of the house of Yahweh and how important your job is. You know, there's a huge group of what we will call refugees, because that's what they're classified as. And right now, estimates go up to 2.8 million that could come at any time. And of course, we're speaking of the 13 to 24-year-old U.S. American citizens that are homeless. Now remember, for that age group, the leading causes of death are accidental, homicide, and suicide. And if they make it through that, a lot of them are ending up homeless. Well, they're leaving the homes due to a lack of morality. There's no positivity that's in the household. Dysfunctional families, as we see in the second chapter of the character unit. And of course, they're leaving. They're searching for peace, but they're finding none right now. Well, they're soon to come, and they're going to head to the house of Yahweh, of course. They're going to find that peace. And then going on also, the Texas legislation this week, they passed a law outlawing sanctuary cities. Now, of course, by outlawing sanctuary cities, they're saying that they can stop anyone, and the probable cause is they suspect you of being an immigrant. Now, of course, this right here is talking about anyone, Hispanics, and no matter where you're from, that's what they're addressing, and they're saying that they need to remove them and send them back to the country they come from. But, of course, we've been bringing out that these refugees will come to Texas. They're going to come to Abilene. But at that time, I promise you, the legislation of Texas will be begging them and providing a way for them to come. They won't be pushing them out. So keep that in mind. That's what we're bringing out. And of course, the gates of hell will not prevail, as Matithya, our Savior, said in Matithya. Now also Turkey, who is considered an ally of the United States, they're becoming frustrated with the United States. The United States supporting what's known as the YPG, that is rebel forces in Syria. Well, Turkey also considers them an enemy. They consider them an enemy. And they're actually, Turkey is starting to bomb them. Even if they have American flags flying, they're bombing them. Now, Russia, Turkey, and Syria this week, they signed a treaty of peace creating safe havens. Now, that's just a fancy word for no-fly zones. No-fly zones are what established is when you start forming a foundation for war. Now, the difference between a no-fly zone established by Russia and the United States is important you understand. When the United States establishes a no-fly zone, that means no one can fly but the United States military and its approved allies. When Russia establishes a no-fly zone, that means absolutely no one flies. Not Russia, not Syria, not Turkey, and no one else. That will actually lead to what we're saying is war. Now, something else that Russia has come out with this week, and I want you to look at that article, and it says, Declaration of War. Russian MPs blast U.S. plan to enforce North Korean sanctions on foreign territory. Now, of course, this is buy, sell, or trade, Russia or North Korea being sanctioned. And I want you to think of it like this. Think of North Korea's on trial. And, of course, they're in a beastly court system. And they're being told that you're going to get the death penalty unless you plead bargain out and give us everything you have, or else you're going to die. Well, Russia is saying, it says, a senior Russian senator says the American bill allowing the U.S. Navy to enforce international sanctions on North Korea through the control of Russian ports is a violation of international law and is equal to a declaration of war. The comment came shortly after the U.S. Congress approved the bill with additional sanctions against North Korea, allowing the possible establishment of U.S. control over seaports and sea routes in the Far East, including the Russian ports. So you see the U.S. law here extending, but is it really U.S. law that we're speaking of? It says the bill also expands the powers of the President of the United States to impose sanctions against individuals who violate certain UN Security Council resolutions. So notice, the President is given authority by the UN to impose these sanctions. Of course, we're speaking of one beast who receives authority from another, and that's the United States who receives it from the Vatican. Now, it says this bill has to pass the U.S. Senate and signed by the U.S. President himself to come into force. The Russian senator, emphasized that no one had given the United States official powers to enforce the UN Security Council resolutions on North Korea. Well, if they wasn't given authority, could they do it? They have been given authority. Remember, I would encourage everyone in Russia to go to YisraelSays.com and look this up. In Revelations chapter 4, or chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, and there went another horse that was red, and power was granted to him who sat upon it to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given to them a great sword, a great military, great weaponry. And verse 8 says, I look and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat upon it was Death, and Sheol, the grave, followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with this military, and with hunger and with pestilence, the same under the authority of the beast of the earth. They come with full authority. Now, someone had questioned what the first fourth part of the earth is. I want to show you this very quickly. Children, anybody tells you that the fourth part of the earth is not what Pastor's talking about, I want you to do this. The earth is not flat. I just printed a flat map, okay? Just so everyone knows. You see this map? Well, you have connecting points. You have the equator, and you have the north and south pole. Take that, fold it into four sections. One, two, three, four. Your fourth part of the earth, when you come up with it, is Russia, China, North Korea, South Korea, the Middle East, Africa, and Europe. All of that falls in the fourth part of the earth, and that authority is given from the beast that they may take peace from that, and of course many will die in that fourth part of the earth. Any child should be able to show someone what Pastor has been saying for many years. Now, North Korea right now is saying that it will not beg for China's help, and China is still calling for the United States and for North Korea to restrain itself because these things will affect China. And of course, the United States has right now established that THAAD missile system in South Korea. And the United States is also now accusing Iran. Remember, Iran was considered part of an axis of evil, but they're actually accusing Iran as being a part of this, contributing to North Korea, North Korea contributing to Iran in the development of missiles, which the beast has sanctioned them so they cannot do that. Now, keep in mind, in the meantime, as the United States is wanting to sanction countries for testing missiles, the United States tested two missiles this week. doing the very thing that they're saying other countries should not do. Notice in the news when they give it, it says that one Minuteman missile can reach North Korea in less than 30 minutes. Remember the 1 hour, in less than 30 minutes. And remember the news we showed before, North Korea can hit Japan in less than 15 minutes. And then remember how fast North Korea can hit Seoul, Korea, which is only 30 miles from the border of North Korea, and there's 26 million people that live in that city alone. Think about the death that could come within 1 hour, and it's going to come. Now, Pope Francis this week actually urged North Korea and the United States to take their issues to a place called Norway. A place called Norway. Of course, Norway is where Oslo is at, and that's where this peace agreement was negotiated before. And if you remember, back May of 2015, there was a man by the name of President Mahmoud Abbas, and he went to the Vatican. And if you remember, Pope Francis gave him a name and called him a messenger of peace, an angel of peace. Well, of course, that's what this man is doing. He's taking this message of peace from the Vatican to all of these places he goes. He goes and gets instructions, then he takes it. He's a messenger, and the Pope himself called him a messenger. And then when you're going to see the speeches that were given concerning this Oslo Accord, listen to key things as Trump says, we look to finalize this agreement. The principles that were, remember, were signed by Mahmoud Abbas, and President Trump points out very directly, you did sign that, right? And of course, Mahmoud Abbas and Shimon Peres were the two delegates that signed that peace agreement. Well, also remember the psychology that was used, and Pastor brought this out a year ago, and he used gas as an example. If someone wanted you to pay $2 for gas, and you were complaining because gas was a dollar, well, gas shoots up to $4 a gallon. Then you become very glad you're paying $2 a gallon for gas. Well, remember what President Trump said. We're going to put an embassy in Jerusalem. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. All of a sudden, oh, well, it's not that bad what he's asking us to do now. He's not going as far as he said. There's a lot of psychology being used in this, but it's to get people to agree. Make it sound harsh and really difficult to do and then cut back on it, but get what you want out of the deal. And that's what's being done. And this messenger of peace that just came to Washington, of course, is doing the bidding of the Vatican. And this Oslo Agreement, as Pastor has been bringing for many, many years, remember, he said a fourth part of the earth, we would see death, destruction, and hunger. We're seeing it. He said this seven-year agreement, this completion would come to pass. We're seeing it. Everything has taken place exactly how the seventh Malach has sounded in these last days. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand, I would like to introduce the source from which all knowledge flows to this world in these last days, the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everybody. Look at him now, guys. Please. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with you. It's certainly not with the world. I want to explain while I'm getting set up here. This 3.5 year peace agreement, the 7 year peace agreement, we're in the fixing to put in process. If you remember, it shut down. It started in 1993. The signing was 7 years. And then Netanyahu then took office, and he shut it down on exactly that date, 3.5 years, in the midst, in the middle, just like the prophecy said. He shut it down, and of course this is a plan of activities. It only runs, it only counts while the activities are in progress. Now, what we're going to see next, people think, well, I'll show you the reason that the Catholic Church doesn't want a state of Israel. They fear that this temple, the movement that is taking place in Israel now, if you notice the signing of that and you notice the faces there, the house of Yahweh met with those people, a bunch of them, and they were shown there. That's not all we met with. There's pictures everywhere of the leaders that we met with, and we witnessed this to them years ago. So, and many of them, even Sharon, took the temple brochure up on the mound after we had made peace with the man, and he wanted it, and then Sharon took it up there and threw it in his face. Well, you know, naturally he'd surely want to love him for that, I guess. But anyway, when this temple is built, the Vatican is making plans. Now, this is on my own. This is what I think is going to take place. They're going to make sure that they get that temple mound where the temple sit, where the house of Yahweh sat at one time before they destroyed it in 70 AY, 70 years after Yahshua, they destroyed it and they moved it to Rome. Now, they want to make sure they get that because there's a movement taking place right now to reinstate the house of Yahweh. Now, this is not the house of Yahweh, but it's a house of Yahweh. And the Vatican doesn't want this. They don't want them in that temple when it's put back together. And this is what they're fighting against, and I think I can prove it today with the articles. If not today, before the Feast of Pentecost, I think I can. With the articles, what they're fighting against right now, and the reason they don't want certain things taking place. If something takes place and the wrong ones get their hands on that power to build that temple, they won't build it out of the same blocks that was moved to Rome. When this temple is brought back, when the house of Yahweh is brought back from Rome, they're going to make sure that the Catholic Church, Yada, with all of his power, that this organization is going to sit in that temple, not a house of Yahweh. It's not going to be a house of Yahweh. It's going to be a Coptic Catholic, Roman Catholic, Israeli Catholic church. Now, this is what they're pulling for. I just want you to understand that and watch for it, because it's fixing to take place now. The prophecy is going to take place right in front of your eyes. You're going to see every bit of it. You're going to walk through the fire with Yahweh. The fire, yes. The cookbook, you need to get your recipes in. I was supposed to talk about this. The women, if you want to put one of your recipes in there, get it to the South office and they'll explain all the details. The men, if you'll turn your recipes in there too, we've already got some, but get yours in, no matter what it is. Get it in. We want to see some specialties in that cookbook. That's the reason for it. And in fact, we want to be where we can serve. We're actually commended. A lot of people are doing fasting right now. I wanted to bring a sermon on that before the feast. I don't think I'll have time, but we're actually commanded, the house of Yahweh in this time period is commanded to fast, not for yourself, not to be get your voice heard on high, or not for strife and rebellion. Don't be fasting for those purposes. Your prayers won't be answered in that way. And Yahweh does show you how to fast, and he tells you who to fast for, And believe it or not, we're told to fast for those that are coming, this greatest gathering. We're actually, it doesn't command, but it says this is the fast that I want out of you in this time period. But I'll get to all of that. It's a quite lengthy sermon, but I will get to it, Yahweh willing. The feast we want to have special is something like hot dogs or a special hot dog. Falafels, we're trying to get falafel stands and sawarwa stands set up to where we can take part of the load off of the women who are doing an excellent job, I think, and always have. And, of course, pizzas, special pizzas, not just a ordinary pizza, but special ones and special recipes. It's always surprising to me how you can change or put a dressing on something, and people will run after it and love it, and that's what we want, of course. Google has given us a new face on Google. You need to pull this up and look at it. They talked to one of our representatives before the feast and explained what they wanted to do. And what they did is a fabulous job. You can see part of it here. But when you pull up the House of Yahweh or Yisrael Hawkins, you don't get a bunch of junk and lies and stuff. You'd have to look a long ways to get that. But it's kind of a new, a higher fear of their reclassification, where we're classified in world leaders and world news opinions on everything, guidance on everything. And we have it, and it seems like that some are knowing it. This is what the Pope fears. He doesn't have to fear me going there and taking to trying to set in that temple. Not at all. But they do have fear now of a group that is building and want to take over the Temple Mount and rebuild the their what they'd call their House of Yahweh. The Vatican is pulling for this, and they're trying to. They've made a lot of moves that we've seen put together to block these movements, and then they're making moves now to where they can bring this about. And Krishna is pretty much running things. I mean, just about everything goes through him. That's the Hebrew brother-in-law, son-in-law, I mean. And pretty much everything goes through him, and he's working directly with the Pope, not Trump. He's got to make a showing. He's got to make a showing to where it looks like he's in opposition to the Pope. But he's not in opposition to the Pope, but he can go through his son-in-law, who has already been to see the Pope, and of course working with the Vatican for years, and we've seen that connection already. But what we're seeing is a number of things taking place with this great octopus that has its tentacles out in every nation and pulling the strings to get what they want done. Now, if you remember the prophets and apostles, they call these people everything, you know, infidels, which they're calling us today, heretics, which they're calling us today, and everyone who is not a Catholic, not under the leadership of the Vatican, which includes China, North Korea, and a number of other nations that are also bucking the U.S., which is saying, let us be like the first beast. And the first beast, of course, was put together with the four religions, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. The Herodians actually owned the army. They weren't really religious, but they gave their power to the other three religions and transported the whole group to Rome, where they had the army built, started, that roamed and collected tribute from the people. And that's what's going on today. And if they don't want to pay tribute like China, Malachi Martin says they have managed to hold their wealth within their country. And this is not suitable to the Vatican. They want that wealth. As the deacon brought out today, that was a great job with the two elders and the deacon today in gearing this to this time period in history. Now, what I was talking about with the elders this morning was we need films to go out to the world to where we have the prophecy like this was presented this morning, but we have a bit of the prophecy that I would speak of come behind me with the news, and then also the gematria and the actual fulfilling of the prophecy as was brought forth here this morning, and have this cut up and put into films of 30-minute segments where we could get it out on the air, the internet, to the whole world. I'm thinking that would be interesting, and it'd be something that we would really remember, and we're working on it already. It'll be there soon. Michael may have to work a few extra hours, but the Vatican Academy head says UN should push global social change. Now, this is a woman, Rome, the highest ranking woman in the Vatican, said Tuesday that strengthening international organizations such as the United Nations is the only way to deal with problems of globalization. And she starts off with saying what a mess the national and international organizations are, and private parties. They're just a mess. They're disrupting the plans that was made by the Vatican and put into the UN and the EU years ago, put to action, and now they're not given their unity. These nations are not given their unity. In fact, they're backing out on these, and this is what she's dealing with here, and they have big plans to turn this around and get this unity back in action, but also strengthen it with the leadership of the Vatican, which they say is the church is wise in this, to deal with the problems of globalization, and she predicted there will be a movement to put more and more executive action is what they call the expert wise people. As the prophet, if you remember, said, the apostle Shaul, who was one of them at one time, said they pretended to be wise or thought themselves to be wise, and they became as fools. And of course, Isaiah said they were like blind people searching for a knob on a door, and nothing fits. Well, he said she predicted there will be a movement to put more and more executive action in international agencies. International agencies, such as the UN, the EU, which is trying to pull out and die. And they name all these problems that's going on in this article. And it says, since there is not a government of the globe. Now, here she's bringing forth a one-world government, which has been talked for years, but now they're going to put it in action, and she says, you're going to see this. Archer said, international NGOs such as the UN and ILO, that's International Labor Organization, is what they call that one, totally each of these always brings forth something other than what it's named. It's like Planned Parenthood, where you plan murder. It should have been Planned Murder instead of Planned Parenthood, but they name it Planned Parenthood as if it's helping the parents. He says this labor organization are the only authorities that are up to the task. So you can bet this is going to be pushed forward really fast, as this top woman of the Catholic Church says. Archer said the church has been very wise. Now, that's a complete sentence. The church, she gets that in subtly, that to follow the gods, the church is following the gods. Now, you know this. Your scripture shows it. They don't hide it. You know, they've been God-worshipping for years. They have all the world worshiping gods and lords. Well, she says the church has been very wise, and it has not gone for having a direct impact on national governments, she said. It has gone for international governments, associations, such as the UN, the ILO, and all the other agencies. Then she says, watch this spot, because we have other designs on the UN and INGO, Archer said. So she gives a little bit of detail here as to what I just explained to begin with. Now, you saw on the news where Abbas in Egypt coordinates stance ahead of Trump meet. And this is on the Middle East peace plan, the plan that we wrote about in the 70s, and then it didn't come to pass until the 90s, but we fully explained that as it was well brought out today. And Yeshua said, I tell you these things in advance so that when they come to pass, you might believe. Palestinian leader, Palestinian Authority, President Ahmad Abbas, was set to meet with Egyptian President to coordinate positions on the peace process ahead of his first meeting with U.S. President Donald Trump in Washington. On finding a way to revive the seven-year peace process, the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, the seven-year peace plan that was signed in 1993, well brought out today and repeated in today's news. Now, Trump has made Middle East peacemaking a priority, meeting at the White House in February with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and earlier this month with Sisi and King Abdullah of Jordan. Jordan, if you remember Yedidiah's sermons, he brought out a lot on Jordan and how they own certain properties in Israel. The U.S. president is expecting to make his first visit to Israel at the end of May. his envoy to the region, Jason Greenblatt, has made two trips to the region since Trump assumed the presidency in January in an effort to jumpstart the long dormant negotiations. Trump spoke to Abbas for the first time over the phone in March when he invited him to the White House. You see the work proceeding here to get this back into operation. Greenblatt told Arab foreign ministers a week later that Trump was committed to reaching a deal between Israel and the Palestinians that would reverberate throughout the Middle East and the world. So they've got a surefire plan here to put this in action. Now, whether it's blackmail and an offer that you can't refuse, or whether they're actually going to be honest and give somebody something they need, you can wait to see. They do a lot of things, and I've got it all prepared, and they're leading it up to it right now. In an interview published last week by the Japanese news, Shiet Ashe Shamban, Abbas expressed willingness to meet Netanyahu in Washington under the auspices of Trump, of the Trump administration. So it's only with this. So there's quite a bit of negotiation already published here. Already, they're showing it's already on the way. Deals are already made. Now, this is prophesied to take place in troublous times. Also, the temple to be moved back into place in troublous times. This was put out by Press TV. U.S. is using North Korea pretext to launch nuclear attack on China. Now, all of this is taking place at the same time that these negotiations to bring so-called peace or divide the land for gain, as the deacon brought out today, divide the land for gain. Well, this article put out in Press says U.S. North Korea pretext launch nuclear attack, pretext to launch a nuclear attack on China. China is one of the ones that Malachi Martin mentioned in his book, The Keys of This Blood, also in his interviews that I still have copies of, thanks to Rachel, who recorded every bit of it. But this China holds on to its wealth. They allow their Catholic Church in China, their God worshipers in China, but they don't let any of the money leave China. They can't take it back to Rome to support Yada in Rome. And Yada is trying to get his hand on the neck of China, and of course China is fighting back along with other nations. The United States is using the pretext of North Korea to build up its military capabilities in order to launch a nuclear attack on China. Now, if this turns nuclear with China, then it will turn nuclear throughout the world. And the 1 hour. Now, get this, you're going to see wars. That's not the 1 hour burning that is talked about in Revelations. When that 1 hour burning takes place, that's going to wipe out all the wicked. That's the ones that the blood of Yeshua being on you, the protection of the holy days, showed you in Colossians, the shadow from things to come. That's like having the blood of the Lamb on your doorpost in Egypt, if you can imagine that, and them walking out with all their families safe and scot-free, seas opening, these were Yahweh's people. Just as he is talking about you in these last days walking through this fire with him, the same thing. If you have the blood of the Lamb, if you are eating like you're supposed to, not rebelling, then this fire will not burn you, Yahweh says. You will see them falling. You will see the wicked fallen. And it makes me want to preach a sermon right now on the word mercy, which is a false word. It's a evil word. It turns out to be evil. The Pope is using it now to come against me. I don't think he's getting too many people to believe him, but I'm writing newsletters just to make sure. But the word mercy, the way they use it, it's like, he's so-and-so's son, and I'm going to have mercy on him because he's so-and-so's son. Look at him. He's blonde hair, blue-eyed. You can't help but have mercy on him, meaning I'm going to keep him safe from all of his sins. He can go ahead and sin but not catch any diseases. You know, this hogwash, you know, the pig soon gets dirty again when the people find out, you know, it's all lies. But that's what they use the word mercy for. Most of the time, when in the King James Version, I'm sorry to say it, we didn't change it either, but we should have. We will in the next version. But the word mercy, it should have been spared. He spared certain people. And he didn't spare them because he felt sorry for them because of what they'd got themselves into. Or he changed his mind and says, well, no, he won't die. He'll live forever because I want to be merciful to him. I won't be merciful to thee. The only reason he spared Yada, and he plainly says that, but they translated this mercy. If you don't understand this, you won't understand the rest of the writings or what's going to take place in this 3.5 years that we're going into. But it won't be 3.5 years. Yeshua said it's going to be cut short. That's the 3.5 years that Yeshua said in Matthew 24, 21 and 22. If he didn't cut it short, there wouldn't be any life saved at all. But for the elect's sake, he will cut it short. For the elect's sake. Well, that's spared. He spared you. He spared the people in Egypt when they put the blood on the doorpost. He spared the people in Samuel's time. They were not righteous. They were worshiping gods. Everything said they were worshiping gods and sacrificing to gods, not Yahweh. But he spared these people in Samuel's day to bring forth his work, to bring forth Yeshua, and then in these last days to build his house, to bring forth his whole house, to resurrect, to be able to learn, to overcome, become in unity. And if you notice the unity that the Pope is trying to get now, well, that's what Yahweh demands, is unity, not with God worshipers, but with Yeshua and with Yahweh and with his house in these last days. And you can see that they see now, and you should be able to see what disunity does, what words against the work does, and why they won't be forgiven. If you cause one of these little ones by your mouth, now get mad, and at breakfast time, voice your madness, your bitterness, maybe at the breakfast table where your son or daughter is eating a meal, or your grandson or your granddaughter, and you voice your opinion without even considering, you know, what you've been told, and you turn one of these little ones, you turn them in their mind, and you set this in their mind. You should be building that child's mind. But little one don't necessarily mean a five-year-old or a three-year-old. It can be an older person. Keep your words. That's what you're being judged for. Keeping your words. Don't let these words come out of your mouth. And later on, you'll be glad you did when you find out you were wrong. You know, you feel so right when you're doing this. You know, you're letting your vengeance come out. And that's what you're wanting to do. That's Satan putting that desire in you. But Yeshua said, now here's his mercy. Here is Yeshua's mercy. If you turn one of these little ones, it would have been better for you if a millstone had been hung around your neck with a rope and you cast far out into the ocean than to have let them words come out of your mouth. Well, of course, it's rebellion against Yahweh's laws that's causing all this to begin with. It's causing all the sickness, the disease, and every scientist that's worth his weight in salt, every doctor knows that we're causing these diseases. Cervical cancer is fornication or adultery. Is caused by it, and they got booklets in their hospitals to give you. I got some of them myself that was brought to me by nurses. They know that sin causes this stuff. It also causes confusion, wars, and fighting. And that's what we see here. Yahweh is not going to have any part of it. And no, that word mercy doesn't mean that he's going to forgive you unless you repent and convert. Now, once you repent and convert, then the blood of Yeshua will be on you. Just as it was on the doorpost of those who left Egypt. And they were saved. Well, China, Japan, South Korea have agreed to take a united stand against the protectionism advocated by U.S. President Donald Trump. The United States of America, what was this I read? The Israel, the Supreme Court of Israel. Now, they just passed a law saying that they could leave food grocery stores, grocery buying places open on the Sabbath, and get this, entertainment. You know, the food, yes. Yes, Yahweh says to eat. He says you got to go to his house and there eat. Enjoy, he said, at his house. And you do that with second tithe at the feast. And you also got to get it in your heart, and this is what he wants from you. You want to use the word merciful to its degree right here. Think about somebody who can't get here, that your second tithe is needed, and your third tithe is needed, which we run out of rapidly. Sometimes one plane ticket, you know, will use it all. But, you know, I don't want to charge for food here at the house of Yahweh. You know, we said free. Let's give it free if we possibly can. I think it's wonderful. But think of this when you got your second tithe and third tithe. And you know, Yahweh says, when you fast, think of the poor. The poor and needy. And he even says naked, to clothe the naked. Well, we've done all that, and we're doing it. We're the only ones on the face of the earth where the poor have the message preached to them. if you went to some of these high-class churches right now, you know, in your, when you, some of you, the way you've come here, they would tell you to go to the back door, and they'll send somebody out to talk to you. But they wouldn't let you in to sit in that church. Well, Yeshua said this was one of the signs that when Yochanan asked, are you the Messiah or do we look for someone else? He says, go and tell them that the poor have the message preached to them. Did you know he is the only one in Israel that's doing that? Well, the Supreme Court in Israel, the Vatican has worked endless hours to keep the Supreme Court of Israel to worshiping gods, to not be celebrating the Sabbath, period, but breaking the Sabbath. As long as you're breaking the Sabbath, you know, and the very first words out of Yahweh's mouth is, go to the place where I choose to place my name. His name is not in Israel. You don't find it in the land of Israel. But there is a movement to bring it back because of the house of Yahweh's preaching. So there's a movement to bring back the name, the feast days, start the feast days again, and the true Sabbath days, keeping them the way they're supposed to be kept, as Yeshua kept them and as the apostles kept them. Well, China here now is separating. China, Japan, South Korea. There are several others that's also doing this, and they're working with China, also working with Iran. This is a big thing with Iran right now because it looks like they've caught them maybe of selling North Korea weapons of mass destruction. Well, there's a few others that's probably buying them too and getting ready for this big war that they know is coming. Everyone knows it's coming. During the trilateral meeting in, you will laugh at this, Yokohama. I did. Yokohama. Yokohama, Japan. You do get that, don't you? It's Oklahoma, you know. I'm kidding. Japan, on Friday, finance minister of the three countries agreed to resist all forms of protectionist policies obstructing free trade. Now they're saying that you're not going to get any more trade unless you walk the line. What they're saying is exactly what Revelation 13 tells you that the United States would be saying at this time. Let us be like the first beast. That is the fourth beast of Revelations, which comes from the first beast, which is Genesis 10. Genesis 10 with Cush and his sons, Ham. Egypt was Hamites. Egypt. It was Hamites. Now later it was followed by Israelites. And they mixed. Hamites was the Egyptians, the first Egyptians. Later it was Israelites that mixed in with them and actually worshiping the same gods and came out with that religion. And their hearts turned back to Egypt, of course, because they kept putting their God worship in every place where Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, moved to. But Yahweh spared Yada, that is, a group of the Yadim. Yada is where you get the word Jew, where they got it. And if you turn that J to a Y, you'll see the name Yah. That gives away where it came from. It actually means Yahweh. Yada actually means Yahweh. But they didn't have the J now till the 1600s when they translated this. And they did this a purpose, putting that letter J in to get this word Jew instead of Yah. Well, anyway, I've got proof for you on that too if I never get around to it. China, Japan, and South Korea are opposed to Trump's protectionist policies and support free trade. In addition, Japan says trade must be only must not only be free, it must be fair. Well, that just wipes out everybody that's following the way of the gods with unjust scales, with overpriced items on the market. All of this works with dog-eat-dog America, but every other nation too. They had the perfect opportunity to bring back prices to where they were in my lifetime. I mean, when I was a child, when you could buy a sack of flour for 5 cents, a sack of sugar for 5 cents. Cost you $25 or something like that today. For, you know, they had the perfect opportunity. Gas was dropping. If everybody had dropped their prices along with gasoline, they would have saw what a great opportunity they'd have had to stay up with China's prices and Japan's prices. But no, they wanted to keep everything else up there, even though the price of gasoline dropped, which is supposed to govern everything. And now gasoline will go up again, and they'll boost their prices even more, making it, with their greed, of course, for gain, as the deacon brought out very clearly today, for gain. Just like they're dividing the land for gain. It's never for love. It's never to help someone. It's to take from someone by force or threat. And that's what the original Nimrod Cush school taught. Terrorism. And that's exactly what they're seeing here. Japan, China, and South Korea. They're seeing terrorism brought in their direction, force. That's what the Roman army was built for and hidden. And it would come out and it would serve as police if you'd let them. And when they come into a community, they say they'd spied out first, and the spy would always talk about joining the protectionists, which was they wouldn't mention who owned the army like they don't mention it today. But if you be a part of this protection, which is offered by Rome, well, who owns Rome? The Vatican, the Roman Catholic Church owns Rome. But Rome offers this protection. So if you'll just pay your tribute, and if they'd object to it, then they'd send the army back after them, and they'd take the whole community. And they'd either make slaves, they'd kill those that they thought deserved to be killed, especially the heretics, especially those who kept the Sabbath and the feast days. Remember Daniel 7:25, he fights against Yahweh, those who use the name Yahweh, the feast days and the Sabbath days. Furthermore, in an attempt to reduce the region's dependency on the U.S. dollar, Japan has proposed forming a currency swap fund with $40 billion. This is Japan now. $40 billion with Southwest Asian countries to reduce the financial stress linked to dollar fluctuations. Well, of course, this is going to get them bombed, but they won't say they're doing it because of this. They won't say we're going to do this because they're rejecting the petrodollar, or they're taking away our oil and wine, as it was put in Revelations, hurt not the oil and wine. You hurt the oil and the wine, then they say, well, you're against this environmentalist, the environment protection that the Vatican wants to put through, but they'll never mention the Vatican, but they'll bring heat and they'll start putting sanctions on. There's a lot of countries right now that have sanctions against them. And of course, South Korea is one of them. China is in the middle of an international dispute between nuclear-powered North Korea on one side and the United States and its regional allies, Japan and South Korea, on the other side. Pyongyang, China's main traditional ally, has warned Beijing against the catastrophic consequences of distancing from the North and approaching others. Well, of course, they got war on either hand, but they're going to war. And it's obvious to see, I won't get to it today, but it's obvious that they are against what they call infidels. Infidel was one of their favorite words for anyone who used the name Yahweh, kept the Sabbath day, wouldn't eat pork, owned a seven-lamp lampstand that represents Yahweh's plan. North Korea vows to bolster its nuclear arsenal at maximum speed. They're not slowing down. They're going to boost it up and be ready to hit the United States. North Korea says ready to strike U.S. aircraft carrier. It's sitting in their waters right now, what they consider their waters, their territory. Now, I'm out of time, so what I want to do is just read you just a bit of this right here. Israel, Vatican-Israel relations. The Vatican opposes Jewish home in Palestine. Did you get that? The Vatican. Vatican-Israel relations. The Vatican opposes Jewish homes in Palestine. I just told you where they get the word Jew. That word Jew still carries. Now, they gave this to the people who kept Yahweh's Sabbath, wouldn't eat pork. In Germany, they called them this. They called them Jews. And, of course, they made them wear armbands. Those who wouldn't eat pork, they had to wear armbands. Those who found a menorah in their house, they had to wear armbands. They were up to be slaughtered. This went on, brethren, in Israel. We visited the site, one site. They told me there were several. But we visited a site where they fed Sabbath keepers to the lions or tigers or whatever. And I walked down in that thing and looked at it. And you could see where they kept these animals. And you could see how they pulled them out and the people. They had their seats all around as a Colosseum, and you could see where they come out into this arena, and they would put the Sabbath keeper, one they classified as a Jew later, but they were called heretics at that time and infidels. And the Pope says in this one, you know, that they don't want any infidels having any power in Israel. Now, this is one thing that they're guarding against really big time. And they don't want any Sabbath keepers, and they know that there's groups forming right now that is Sabbath keepers. And they're wanting to get the feast days back. They're wanting to rebuild the house of Yahweh on the Temple Mount. And they want it called the House of Yahweh. When it is built, Thessalonians shows who's going to sit in that thing. It's going to be Catholic. It's going to be just like the Vatican today, the Roman Catholic Church today. But they're fighting to keep any of what they're calling infidels and heretics, and they're calling them Jews, Jewish people. They don't want any of them owning a home, and they're speaking out against it. They don't want any of them even owning a home in Israel. Now, they got that law in South America now, and unless you are a Catholic in certain places, you can't buy land, you can't buy anything. You can't be an owner of anything. About the only thing you can do is rent and survive. And it's hard. It makes it hard on the people. But there's people that would rather die than to go into this God worship that the Catholic Church offers. Well, you're going to be protected. This is the schemes to get rid of you. But Yahweh said, you are going to be protected. I'm going to encamp about my house. And in that time period, and he even shows you when he started this, by the way, because he knew that we were going to be well known, so he started this protection going, and he shows that in Scripture, also shows it in the Numbers. The gematria shows it also, and it shows his protection and how he's going to protect his house, his work, and then those who he protects and is kept alive at the end in this 3.5 years that is cut short. When this starts, we're not going to have a full 3.5 years. Once it starts, we're not going to have it. You're going to see it deteriorate rather rapidly. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next leader. I love you.